No, I think it's day 39 of a number of protesters on hunger strike outside the Dáil. Survivors of industrial and reformatory schools, Mary Moriarty Owens, Mary Dunleavy Green, Mary Donovan, of course, Maurice Patton O'Connell. They've been on hunger strike for around 39 days and have vowed to continue until they get what they feel they need to reflect the time they spent in state institutions. With that in mind, I have Minister for State Department of Agriculture, Michael Healy-Rae, with me on the programme, who met with the protesters in recent days. Minister Michael Healy-Rae, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning to all your listeners.
What did you say to Maurice and Miriam and Mary and the rest?
Well, the very first thing I think is very important for your listeners to know, because this is a very, very serious situation. I've been out to meet them on a number of occasions, along with my son, Jackie, and I just want the people to be clear about exactly, because people hear about a hunger strike, but I want to let it be known why they're on hunger strike. First of all, any person to be on hunger strike for 39 days, that's posing a very serious threat to their health. They're sleeping out in a tent, and you can imagine how, Jerry, the weather is after changing, and you can imagine how cold it is for these people, and in being in a hungry state. So I just want people to know why they're there. Because the state has failed to honour commitments made after the 1999 state apologies to survivors of institutional abuse and people that were wronged at the hands of the state. And Maurice, Mary and Mary Dunleavy and Miriam Moriarty Owens, those four very nice, genuine people, and I've spoken to them at length, and they're what I'd call sound people. And I just want to let everybody know what they want from government. They want medical support. They want access to HAA cards, you know, for their lifelong health care. They want that. They want a contributory pension for state for survivors of recognising, you know, their unpaid labour in institutions, which we all know was a fact that happened. And they just want recognition, renewed acknowledgement and engagement from government. So I've been using my position within government to highlight what has been happening to them. And the way I'll put it to, and I'll be very blunt about it, and I know that my son Jackie was in contact with them earlier this morning just to see what way things were going and to let them know that I was going on the radio out of courtesy, just so that they'd know that they were being spoken about on Radio Kerry. They're genuine people. What they're looking for is not much. I have asked government to engage with them, and the way I'll word it is there has been engagement, but not near enough, because their ask is very simple. It's not going to cost the state millions of euros. They're not looking for what I'd call compensation or a big lump of money. They're asking for basic health requirements and having a contributory state pension for people who, you know, were abused. And I don't want to go into the awfulness of, but I mean, you know,
what happened.
Can imagine what I'm talking about. People that were hurt both mentally and both physically as young little children, and the horrors that they had to endure. So I think that, being straight about it, they've been failed so far by government, and it is up to us to do everything we can now. But to be on hunger strike for 39 days, you're heading into what it's like the car getting low and the red light coming on. These people, the red light is on now because their health is in danger. I know that medically people are checking on them, and I've spoken to the medically people that were checking on them, and they're very worried about them, and they're very nice people, and they're getting support from nice people. But support isn't enough when what they need is practical help from
With that in mind, the Minister for Education met with them on the 29th of September, I think it was, to hear from them personally. The Taoiseach met directly with them on the 3rd of October. At each of the meetings, concern was expressed for their physical and mental health as well as their decision, and they were asked to reconsider and to engage with officials in relation to the matters that they have raised. The Minister has also written to the group on a number of occasions to outline this position. You're saying that that's not enough. They want to say, let me put this point to you, and with the best will in the world, as to what happened to them and the position of the government in response to them. Hunger striking is a very emotive thing, particularly in this country. We have a long history of it for political reasons and otherwise, going back to Terence McSweeney, going back to the early 1980s and Bobby Sands and a whole lot. But in terms of it, using it as a tool to get what you want, no matter how justified that is, does that not put the government in a very difficult position, because if they were to acquiesce and say, yes, tomorrow I'll give you what you want, would they have another group on hunger strike next week outside Leinster House on something else?
Yes, and I appreciate why you would say that. But at the end of the day, they're human beings. And no more than myself, they're not spring chickens now. And, you know, to be sleeping outside in a tent in the cold weather and putting down a very long, hard day and being hungry every day, I know what your point is. And maybe it's wrong to use this word. You might be insinuating that it's like blackmailing the government into giving them what they want. But that would be different if what they were looking for was unreasonable. If they were outside there and if they were saying, oh, we should get €1 million paid into our bank account because of what we endured as children. But they're not saying that. Like, what they're looking for, I would honestly consider it to be very, very basic. They want a medical card for all intents and purposes. They want a pension, a modest pension, which would only be a slight increase on what they're getting as it is. So, it is, you know, like, from a money point of view, giving in to this, what I would call small group of people, it would cost the state a minimal amount of money. Minimal. It would be so tiny, you know, it really would be small. But it's more, the reason these respectable people are on hunger strike today is because they believed they were wronged. And jury, they were wronged. And like, they're nice people, they were wronged. And it was the state was responsible. And they're now asking the people that are running the state at the moment to step up and to do something to recognise that. And I appreciate that in the past, the apology that was made at that time, the state apology, that was a significant time for the survivors of institutional abuse. But, like, you know, apologies doesn't take care of our healthcare, or it doesn't put food on your table.
Okay, and so you're hoping for some movement on that before too much longer goes on in relation to it.
Because what I don't want is Jerry O'Sullivan and Radio Kerry someday to have a headline that something awful might be after happening to one of these people. And every one of us then would be jumping up and down and saying, how did that happen? How did we let that happen? And I'm not abdicating responsibility in this. I'm taking responsibility for it. That's why I've been out to meet them. And it's not as though I'm saying, oh, this is awful. I'm trying to do something about it because I feel responsible for it, that they need people like me to be advocating for them and fighting for them and saying, this is wrong.
Okay, Minister, on a separate issue, how disappointed are you with the outcome of the election? You were a strong supporter of Heather Humphreys, Catherine Connolly, now President of Ireland.
Well, and look, I'm a Democrat, and I really believe in the democratic process. The people were asked a question, who do they want to vote for? Do I have regrets about backing Heather Humphreys? Absolutely not. She's a decent, hardworking woman. She always stood up for rural Ireland. She was very good to me in County Kerry. Through her work in rural and community development, she expanded local improvement schemes, the outdoor recreation, CLAR funding. She had a big focus on rural jobs. She oversaw a very large social protection budget. These were all the reasons why I supported her. When I went to her about extending the carers' benefit to self-employed from January in 25, she was behind all of that, you know, before she left her office. She raised the carers' allowance. I could go on for a long time about the good things that Heather did, and that's why I supported her. And again, things like horse racing and you know, our greyhound industry, supporting coursing. She was very fundamental in all of those type of reasons. And the people that I represent, they would be very important issues to them. And like every year, she was very supportive of the budget that we need to keep our greyhound tracks around the country open, and our greyhound track in Tralee, which, as you know, I'm a very strong supporter of, and every person that has dogs in Kerry, you know, and greyhounds, they know that she was very supportive and good. But the people have spoken, and I congratulate Catherine very, very much. I wish her every good luck in her 7 years. Quite simply because I'm a Democrat. I backed a person. The person I backed did increase. And remember now, because this wasn't anything whatsoever to do with Fine Gael, and her vote in County Kerry will tell you that it didn't, because in the last general election, Fine Gael got 10% of the vote and Heather got 30% of the vote in Kerry up against a candidate who got a massive majority. So you can see an awful lot of people in County Kerry went out and voted for Heather Humphreys, and they weren't Fine Gael, or they weren't related to Fine Gael no more than me. But I know a lot of people that that wouldn't vote Fine Gael ever, with all due respect, in any election, but they voted for Heather because they looked at the choice. And I always say this, Jerry, if you are picking your candidate, you must look at the people that are around the candidate. And you had six parties that and individuals that were supporting Catherine Connolly. And if you want that type of politics, and if you want, what those parties represent, well, then they aligned themselves to Catherine. But others didn't. And I was in the others camp, quite simply because I believed in the candidate. But now that we have a president, I wish her every good luck, and I hope that she'll be successful in her 7 years.
But would you be concerned now that as an independent that the left have come together and they may be more organised and more cooperative in the next local and general election, and that might spell trouble for government parties but also independents in different constituencies, including yourself?
Well, Jerry, you know what I always say about elections. People ask me, am I nervous around election time and all that, whether it's for the council or whether it's for the Dáil. I'm always nervous at election times because, quite simply, the people that vote in County Kerry, they're my boss. They're my brother Denny's boss. They're the young Healy Rays. They're their bosses. And at all times, when your name goes on a ballot paper, you don't know whether you're going to be successful or not. But all I would say is that being independent gives me the freedom and us the freedom to do what we want to do for the best interest of the people of Kerry and throughout the rest of the country.
Yeah.
But when you see the left coming together like that, well, there was one thing that was significant, of course, and you could see that in the campaign, and that was the money of which is, of course, is very, very strong by Sinn Féin because they're so financially strong throughout the country and I suppose internationally with all the money they get from America and everything, that you could see there was an awful lot of money spent on Catherine's campaign, and it takes money to run a campaign, and they were successful, and like I say, more look to her. But in the future, am I worried about taking on, we'll say, the other parties, be they of the left or be they Sinn Féin or whoever they are? I'm always very fair in my politics, and I'm very straight in my politics. And I know that you'll always be under pressure when an election comes on, but people can look at somebody that's delivering, or you can look at somebody that's, doing a lot of shouting and a lot of talking, and maybe some of the things they're talking about aren't really meaningful to people because, how would I explain this to you? It's like you can promise a lot if you're not in the position to do anything. And you can say you'll do enough. I read Sinn Féin's alternative budget, and they were looking at spending extra billions. And the question then was, where was the billions going to come from? It was going to come from taxation because it doesn't fall out of the sky. And who were they going to tax? They were going to make it more expensive to do business in Ireland and very probably hunt a lot of the foreign direct investment that we have into this country. And you have to be very careful.
You wouldn't be supporting that stance. Final question for you, Mr. Are you, whatever about being nervous about the United Left Alliance or whatever the cooperation is going to be, are you nervous about Micheál Martin's position as Taoiseach of the country, given the internal rumblings in Fianna Fáil? I know it's not a matter for you, but if there was to be leadership change, it would affect your position, surely.
Well, the way I'll word it to you is that's an internal matter for Fianna Fáil to sort out. There is no doubt in this world, but major mistakes were made. One thing that I want to talk about, if you look at the amount of spoiled votes, the people that went out and spoiled their votes, they were sending a message to government. Now, as far as I can see, the message that they were sending, because an awful lot of people said it to me, they were very unhappy that there were so few names on the ballot paper. And I want to make it quite clear that both Denny Healy-Ray and myself, we nominated Maria Steen. And I know in my own case, it wasn't that I might have voted for her, even though from an ideological point of view, a lot of the things she believes in, the protection of the unborn and all of those.
You'd be aligned with. Yeah.
I'd be very strongly aligned to. But when myself and Denny nominated her, we did so that her name would be on the paper. so that when you or any of our listeners would vote, whether you were to vote for her or not, that was your business, but we would have liked for her name to be on the paper. Then the younger Healy Rays, they nominated Garrett Sheridan from the council. And I know that Jackie Healy-Ray was on your programme explaining why he thinks that, you know, the councillors should have more of an organised way of promoting somebody. Because, again, not that they might have voted for Garrett Sheridan, that was their own business, but they believed he should have been on the paper. And everyone will tell you that it was very, well, number one, it was very odd to be going in and seeing a name on it that you weren't supposed to vote for because he wasn't running. But the fact that there was really, you know, only two choices, that was wrong, Jerry. And, like, yeah, whether that's government or, I will go back to one thing that I said before on your radio program, and I'll repeat it again. I think it was very mean. After myself and Denny signing for Maria Steen, she got up to 18 people. She needed two more people to sign their names. Well, all I can tell you, and I know, look, it's their choice, but my God, isn't their signature very precious to think that they couldn't have signed it? I mean, I signed my name one time for a Sinn Féin man, Martin McGuinness, to be on the paper, quite simply because I believed that he was, you know, that he deserved to have his name on the paper and to let people see whether they wanted him or not. And I said at the time, I told him to his face, I said, I'll sign for you, no problem. And I told Martin Ferris and others, I said, I'm not voting for you, but I said, I want you to be on the paper in the interest of democracy. And the people had their say, and I suppose, after Sinn Féin's outing in the last two presidential elections, that's why they didn't put up their own candidate this time. They thought it was safer to back somebody else because they got such a drumming the last time. And I suppose
it turns out they were right in the end with their choice. We're going to have to leave it there. We are short on time.
But they didn't back their own because they were afraid of putting up their own person, because if they'd had their own, they would have put
They'll argue the toss on that, that's for sure. That's Minister Michael Healy-Ray with us on the line on his views on that. If you have a view on it, get in touch with us on the programme in relation to the hunger strikers outside the Dáil. Michael Cahill has got in touch with us this morning to let us know. That's Fianna Fáil TD Mike Cahill, that the Taoiseach Micheál Martin will be meeting the hunger strikers again at 5 o'clock this evening. I've been working hard with the group and I've raised it in the Dáil on two separate occasions and at the Joint Health Committee with the Minister for Health. Both I and Catherine Connolly were the only two TDs to raise it in the Dáil for a long time. I've spoken to the Taoiseach and the Minister of Education a number of occasions about this most serious matter. I will update you on this evening's meeting. So the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, as Michael Cahill is saying there, is due to meet with them again at 5 o'clock this evening in relation to their continuing hunger strike. They're on day 39. A listener gets in touch with us this morning and says, Minister Healy-Ray is part of government. It's absolutely appalling that four survivors are on day 39. What is he doing to place pressure in the Department of Education, Justice and Health? He's talking rubbish, says Tracy Geary, who adds, please tell him to do something. He's in government or get off the stage. Well, he's saying he is going to try and do something to get it resolved. If you have a view on what that is or the issue of the fact that they're on hunger strike to get what they want,